This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The president says there's no there when talking about classified documents that were found in an office and at his home. Meanwhile, a rock legend dies, David Crosby, at the age of 81. And Alec Baldwin, the actor, is going to be charged in a fatal rust shooting that was on a movie set a couple of years ago in Santa Fe. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope your week's gone well. If not, hey, we're sliding into another weekend. Hard to believe, but January is disappearing before our eyes. So Alec Baldwin's attorney says he is blindsided by what has happened here. So surprised about these charges. The district attorney in New Mexico, District Attorney Mary Carmack Altuies, was on television talking about it earlier in the day and then in the CNN interview, and she said her office was in almost constant contact with the opposing party's attorneys for about the last 6 weeks. She says they didn't know exactly what was coming, but they were aware we were contemplating charges, and they were aware of what the contemplated charges were. And she went on to talk about actors and producers and responsibility for what happened. But in case you don't know the story, this happened in 2021. The movie was called Rust. It has not been released, has not been finished. The film armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, is also going to be charged with 2 counts of involuntary manslaughter, just like Alec Baldwin, by the way. There was the shooting that resulted in the death of cinematographer Haleen Hutchins after she was struck by a live round of ammunition fired from a prop gun that was held by Baldwin. He's maintained he did not pull the gun's trigger, placing responsibility for the tragedy on the armor, who I just mentioned, and props assistant on the film, as well as the assistant director who handles the gun. Attorneys for the crew members have accused Baldwin of deflecting blame. But at this point, it is so about these charges and what could happen. You don't know what's going to happen with the jury. And, of course, the burden of proof is on the prosecution and then how this all plays out. I mean, how did a live round get loaded into the gun that was handed to Baldwin? They were rehearsing when the shot, you know, went off. So he didn't check the gun before firing it. That's what the prosecutors are saying. That's a key piece of information. They're going to argue that he was negligent about the safety standard. And negligence is an important part of the involuntary manslaughter charge. And the district attorney said overall there was a lack of safety and safety standards on the set. And the deadly shooting, which took place in October of 2021, that resulted in Haleen Hutchins dying, has been really, really just thoroughly pulled apart, is what the district attorney is saying, and says, you know, we're not going to be asking for an arrest. We're going to send out what's called a summons. From that, the court will set what's called a first appearance, basically an arraignment, and they will either have to come to New Mexico or they might have to do a video arraignment, and she says they've been doing those, and then enter their pleas at that point. And to me, this sets what could maybe even be a precedent. Certainly once that happened, there were more people in Hollywood that were just talking about double-checking things, not that people weren't doing that on the set and weren't on sets and weren't being careful about that. But the fact is what they've said from the district attorney's office is that the killing of Haleen Hutchins was because of conscious disregard for human life, and that's why we determined the involuntary manslaughter, that the independent investigation supports that charges are warranted. that it is a comfort to the family that in New Mexico no one is above the law. We support the charges, will fully cooperate with the prosecution, and fervently hope the justice system works to protect the public and hold accountable those who break the law. So that moves on, and what plays out with the jury or what happens from there, from that Western movie set, the tragedy, to then what rolls on in the future, we don't know. The wheels of justice can turn rather slowly, so this certainly is not going to happen overnight, that's for sure. And then you have the president who was touring California because of all the damage, of course, that's been there. And the reporters that travel with the president have one thing on their mind, and it's this document drama. So he was answering questions on his handling of the classified documents, and he had a statement that he said, you know, we found a handful of documents. They were filed in the wrong place. We immediately turned them over to the archives and the Justice Department. We're fully cooperating, looking forward to getting this resolved quickly, is what he said. I think you're going to find there is nothing there. I have no regrets. I'm following what the lawyers have told me they want me to do. That's exactly what we're doing. There's no there. So a couple of things that are flawed in this communication with the press, of course they're going to keep asking questions because we have questions as to why this wasn't uncovered or at least released to the public the second they found the documents back in November. The no regrets, I would think there would be some regrets. I mean, why would you want to have these classified documents now that were filed in the wrong place, especially when there was so much dust up about the former president, Donald Trump? And you can compare and contrast all you want, but the optics absolutely are not good. The optics here are not good either. The Treasury Department Thursday began extraordinary measures to pay our bills. Yes, the nation's bills, after reaching a limit on how much it's allowed to borrow. That's basically it. The United States, of course, has been in this position before. So the amount of time the department can continue to take steps, the Treasury Department, to avoid defaulting on the debt, unless the $31.381 trillion limit is raised, is uncertain, according to the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen. That's what she told Congress. That was her letter to lawmakers. The government is expected to be able to keep operating until June. Then we're out of cash, people, and then you're on your own. I mean, seriously, this is so ridiculous. This is something that constantly happens. So you had Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican, Arizona. He tweeted out on earlier in the week, "We cannot raise the debt ceiling. Democrats have carelessly spent our taxpayer money and devalued our currency. They've made their bed, so they must lie in it." And then you have the other side of that, where the Democrats are saying, no, 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 we have to come to some sort of a compromise because we have existing obligations, including Social Security and military salaries. The debt ceiling refers to the maximum amount the U.S. government can spend on those obligations. And then you start defaulting on bills. You know, it's kind of like, remember there might have been a time or two when you couldn't pay the electric bill? And maybe there was another bill or two, and it was like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Why are we constantly, constantly in that situation? All right, stay with us. Coming up next, mic drop moment.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
In a sweet ride, what would you pick electric vehicle wise, right? Don't say Tesla because people are really mad at Elon Musk and they don't want Teslas as much. Although I've seen a bunch in my neighborhood. It started to become commonplace, right? You can have the high end, obviously, Teslas, but then they made them a little more affordable. And there's always the debate about the batteries and what about in cold weather and all of that. But put that aside for a second. What would be your dream car that could be electrified and look really sweet? If it is a Corvette, the answer to that prayer has been answered already. General Motors has a big year ahead for Chevrolet. They are going to launch 4 EVs and updates to 4 gas-powered cars in their lineup, by the way. So the Corvette, I have to say, the 2024 Corvette E-Ray, so it's the first electrified all-wheel drive Corvette. It is pretty sweet looking. It is. It'll only set you back over $100,000, $104,000 to be exact. And the E-Ray is going to be built at Bowling Green Assembly in Kentucky starting this year. And, of course, if you want a hardtop convertible, it's a little bit more, not too much more, but a little bit more. They're not even giving a specific date for when it's going to go on sale or reach the market because they know people are going to go crazy for it. They're calling it the quickest, though, production Corvette in history. It's going to be able to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds and blow through the quarter mile 10.5 seconds. Wow. I saw some photos of it. Oh, wow, 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 wow. And, of course, this is a hybrid Corvette, not full-on electric. I mean, even the Chevy VP of marketing, when he was talking to the media, said that the E-Ray is something that's been in the works for a while. And the fact is that it'll use batteries. For its electric front motor. And considering the Corvette has had success offering variations, they thought it made sense to bring a hybrid into the mix first and saying that this is, you know, that it'll be fully electric in the future, but you're getting half electric. And so, I don't know, does that make you feel more comfortable? Because there's a backup plan there. It's the only sports car that has two separate propulsion systems. Right? Two separate propulsion systems. And I really checked this out, and it really looks really, really good. And what happens is, because the battery is regenerated through the road rather than plugging into a charging system, it means that as the car accelerates and brakes, the battery is recharged on the road with no physical connection between the motor and the battery pack. Can I get a mic drop? And they didn't make it a plug-in because they said it would have meant hurting performance in favor of range. Sweet! So I'm going to try to lobby for this show to get a test drive of one of these and go down to Kentucky. We'll see if they let us do that. But I'll tell you, it does look beautiful. It does. And I think it's going to be a very, very popular car. So that's why no specific dates, because they know once that is announced that the line will start. Right? Boom. We're ready. We're going to scrape that money together, or we have the money. We're going to figure it out. We're doing it, period. Vets are popular. I mean, absolutely. It's not just a midlife crisis car. Younger people like vets. People save up to get a Corvette. It's a bucket list car for a lot of people. So I think it's easy to predict that it's going to be a big, big, big seller. Lately, people have been talking about what do abbreviations mean when you're, you know, texting, the acronyms, and what happens when you get a text full of acronyms you don't know. Well, duh, you just ask Siri what it means. So I was reading USA Today, and I'm wondering, do you know what SMH means? SMH. Give me an SMH. Shaking my head. So, you know, you can't believe something or disappointed. There's your SMH. How about this one? 2BH2. It's not 2. It's TBH. TBH, my nephew, who's 21, is great at this. He's like, oh, and Kate, if you don't know, I'll give you all the abbreviations. He knows them all. But TBH is to be honest. And there's a whole bunch of things that become acronyms. That it's like a different language if you're texting a lot, and you get used to it. It's good to know the acronyms, frankly, because the worst is when you're typing long sentences. That's not what texting is. You know, do you ever get a page and seriously, it's like almost looks like a page and a half from somebody, and then you're trying to go through it and you're trying to get the major points, but you really can't get the major points because you're like, this isn't a text. Then what those people have to do is hit the record button, and they just got to record the thing. And then it's up to you whether you play it back or not. But it's become a whole new thing. It's like, to me, it's like a whole new language when you learn those acronyms. You know, that's for sure. Now, because I mentioned the Corvette, and then I said the thing about it being a hybrid, but, you know, they're going to go fully electrified. It's coming up. It's interesting you think of Tesla and first market. Tesla, the company, cut prices as much as 20% because they want to boost sales. So as much of the Model 3s and the Model Y SUVs and whatnot that you may have seen on the road, they're definitely trying to cap some of it off because they want to be able to get ahead of the game because obviously the competition is closer than the rearview mirror. I mean, it's on top of them now at this point. And they're pushing the fact that you can qualify for tax credits and you have to meet certain criteria, but you can. And what can they do? They're dropping prices on the models. And it's interesting because the price cut follows lower than expected delivery numbers for 2022. They're going to issue their quarterly earning report later this month, but they've already said that they sold a record 1.3 million last year, the different types of vehicles. But those sales numbers fell short of Elon Musk's goal to grow sales by 50% every year. 50% is tough. I mean, look, they had problems with COVID-19 shutdowns in China because that cut into production. They had a Shanghai factory. And then working to continue to scale up production in Berlin and in Austin. And investors worried that he's distracted, too. So there's been all kinds of things that have happened there. And in 2022, Tesla shares were down more than 65%. So that's a big, boy, that's a big, big dip when you have something that goes down that much. All right, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, popular group, right? Popular singers, all of them. But there's no question that David Crosby was, I don't want to say a pioneer. It was just that he performed so many songs, and he was so good. He was just good. And, you know, a little bit before my time, but because he stretched into so many different generations, not really. Because he was still playing. There were different reiterations of Crosby. But a singer-songwriter who definitely defined the Woodstock generation, 60s and 70s bands, Byrds, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and, you know, he was all about excess. So dead at the age of 81. If you go and you listen to some of the songs, like Turn, Turn, 8 Miles High, how about Carry On, Teach Your Children, Our House, Marrakesh Express. You know, I was looking some of them up and playing them and remembering, oh, yeah. And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2 times. He definitely had immense acclaim when he appeared with Stills and Nash and Young at the Woodstock Festival, for sure. And you got to think about what that time was like when they were all together and what the whole Woodstock thing was like. And there were a lot of number one songs on the Billboard pop charts when that used to mean really, really super mean something. You think of Guinevere. I like that song, Guinevere. And there's a whole bunch of them that he was a part of that he wrote. And I got to see him perform, I want to say it was like the 90s when I saw him perform. And he was still very, very good. So RIP to David Crosby. Shout out to Alex for his fine work on the technicals. Hang with us.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Singer-songwriter David Crosby is dead at the age of 81. Crosby was the founding member of influential 60s rock bands, The Byrds, and Crosby, as well as Stills and Nash, which later became Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. He formed Crosby, Stills, and Nash in 1968, and their first album was an instant success, winning them a Grammy for Best New Artist. The group later added Neil Young and recorded their hit album Deja Vu, which peaked at number one of the Billboard 200. On Thursday, his wife released a statement to Variety announcing he died surrounded by family after battling a long illness. Netflix says it's putting limitations on account sharing over the next few months. The change will limit an account to users within one household instead of being shared with multiple external users. Sharing outside the home can still be done, but it will require an extra unknown fee be paid. I'm Blue Flores, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Young, Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I'm pleased to take you to Australia for a conversation with Alan Joseph Oliver. He's joining us on America Tonight. He's written a book called Thinking on the Other Side of Zero, Part 1. He actually has Part 2 out as well. An Intuitive Philosophy of Mind, Memory, and Reality. Alan, thanks for joining us.
I didn't get the last bit.
Thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is quite a privilege from my perspective. Thank you.
Let's talk about the book, and you say it in the subtitle. You get a real sense of what it's about. What motivated you to write the book? What was it that drove you to this?
Well, what drove me to it is, first of all, the first healing experience. I didn't know that was possible, and I'd started taking an evening class once a week about the Yoga Sutras, and the teacher had obviously recognized I was in that state. And one evening he said, I would like you to talk to this young lady who's got a problem, and I've assured her that you can help her. And I thought, oh God, what's all this about? Anyway, I turned up at her flat and said, what's your problem? What can I do? And she said, I've got this mentally disturbed cat. It's a stray. We've had it for over a year. You can't hold it for more than about a minute. And it doesn't snarl. It doesn't meow. It snarls. Sorry. And she said the other thing that makes us feel it's had a serious trauma is that it hasn't washed itself in the year that we've had it. So anyway, I said, what am I going to do here? And she dropped this smelly cat on my lap. I was sitting in a beanbag at the time. And I thought, what do? I just put my hand on his head and it went to sleep. And immediately I had violent flashing lights everywhere, a bit like multiple migraine attacks. And so I thought, well, I'll just sit here and see what happens. And after quite some time, the flashing lights stopped and I had the sense of walking through a garden where all the plants were very big and there was no green, no blue, things like that. It was mainly just browns, reds, yellows. And I realized I was seeing through the cat's eye viewpoint. And as soon as I realized that, the garden changed to the color scheme that I would normally expect to see. And as I just watched this walk through the garden, I realized that this felt very comfortable. It must be a garden that the cat was familiar with. And so I thought, well, we'll just let the cat stay in the garden and see what happens. And it just prowled around the garden. That was probably about 20 minutes. And then I knew that the cat was going to wake up. And then the cat woke up and started to wash itself.
Wow.
So both the lady and I were quite amazed by that. And so I thought, well, how do I get out of here? I don't want to get into a conversation about this because I don't know what happened. So she gave me a cup of coffee and I had a drink and escaped. That's the best word. But the following week in the yoga class, everybody was wanting me to talk about this experience. And so I just shrugged it off and said, well, this is what happened. And I don't know why. So that's where it started. Not long after that, a friend asked me to help one of her friends who had a fracture of the tibia. And so I went and met this young woman and, you know, focused on her leg. I just had a sense that it was, the fracture site was all black and murky. And I thought I would like to shine a bit of brightness in there, maybe sunlight or something lovely and bright like that. And I had asked her to sit there with her eyes closed and I would have my eyes closed. And I thought now I should ask her to open her eyes. But when I opened mine, her eyes were already open and she was wanting to tell me what she just saw happen. She said, you put all this bright golden light on the lick on the side and now it's not dark anymore. So anyway, I described that
in that book,
first part of the book.
Yeah.
And other things like that. And I realized that I need to confess at the start with each of these things, confess to the subject that's the other person, that I have no idea what's going to happen, so I can't answer that question for you. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. In the book, it's great. You talk about consciousness. You talk about putting it all together. You just mentioned about yoga. You talk about the yoga model of reality. How has this changed your life, and how do you believe it can change other people's lives?
Well, it'll change other people's lives if they can calm down enough to approach that state. The fact is that because our consciousness that we experience is outside of the body, it's all the same consciousness, and that level of consciousness is part of who we are. It's just that we don't access it very much because we've been brought up to be individual people, and that starts from even before you're born. And I go on to talk about that too. I say that at conception, the embryo is a part of the mother's body because it is connected to her blood supply, and that takes the excrement off from the embryo as well and just manages it in the mother's body. And you don't start to become an individual until after the umbilical cord is cut, and from that point you're given a name, you're part of a family, and you gradually learn to become the individual. And because of that, that separates us, as I explained in the yoga, with the yoga diagram, it separates us to that individual, and our senses reinforce that individuality. And so yoga is all about having the mind stop and having those sensory things come to a halt, so that what you're left with is the fundamental consciousness.
Wow, so well said. What do you hope people take away from reading Thinking on the Other Side of Zero, Part 1, and Into a Philosophy of Mind, Memory, and Reality, which, by the way, you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away, Alan?
Well, if they can understand from the yoga diagram that they're living that part, but the other part on the other side of zero, because the physical body is on this side of zero. So the other side of zero is fundamental consciousness, and you can access that after a lot of meditation and quietness, and hopefully with an accredited teacher too. You can reach that state. In yoga, they say there are two ways to get into that state, and one is with meditation and teaching with a teacher. The other way is to have been born that way. And the friends that I've met involved in yoga all say you are obviously born that way. And in that sense, it's the born is the teacher wanting to avoid the trauma of birth.
And you talk about that. You talk about so much in this book, and we don't want to give it all away. Pick up the book, and you'll get all of the story and so much more. Alan, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Pal D'Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pal D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pal D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
On America Tonight, I'm pleased to take you to Australia for a conversation with Robert Phillips. He's written a book called 2100. He actually has another book out, too. We're going to briefly talk about that because that sounds just as fascinating to me as you fast forward into the future. So, Robert, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about why you wrote this book. You're an aviation risk analyst. You did that for a big chunk of your life. And obviously you had an interest in science fiction and things that are futuristic, and also in writing, because you know how to tell a really fine story. So how did that start?
Well, the storytelling started when I was about 4 or 5, writing stories, I think. But what inspired me with this one was wondering what society would be like in the future, and the process of writing was a long one. It went through quite a few revisions till eventually I settled on the book as it is now, set in 2100, and speculating on what life could be like at that time, the end of this century.
Yeah, and what do you think life is going to be like as you speculate about that?
Well, I'm working on philosophy, maybe something an article will say. I believe that things never turn out quite as well as you hope, nor as badly as you fear. For example, with global warming and the danger of reaching a 2-degree tipping point, I'd say we'll get close to the 2-degree mark and we'll hover on the edge and just manage to avoid the catastrophic changes, but they will still suffer serious problems. I think along the way there'll be a price to be paid, and then I think the economy will eventually disintegrate, and that people will have to fall back on their own resources, or more particularly, on forming themselves into communities and pooling their resources to survive for some of that time. But I think what might eventually happen if they live in a community-oriented lifestyle for some years and realise there are certain psychological benefits in that is that even when better times return, they might elect to still stay with a community-oriented lifestyle, and that the prevailing ethos of society will have changed from maximising wealth to earning as much as you need, but otherwise concentrating on being part of your community or pursuing artistic or other pursuits. So that it will become lifestyle-oriented.
Yeah, it's interesting because let's talk about your novel and that character, James Lawson, and what happens to him, and tell us a little bit about his journey.
Well, in many ways, he epitomizes the prevailing ethics of these days. Various reasons he wants to maximize his wealth. And initially, he's actually skeptical about climate change because it just didn't fit in with his worldview of his economy getting bigger and better and so on, until he discovered he could make money out of dealing with it, in his case by running an energy efficiency company and so on. And he became a believer. But in many ways, he did sort of epitomize the spirit of the age, so to speak. But then he's struck down with a brain tumor, and he goes into hibernation for many years and has survived in 2100. And then finds himself in this very different type of society, which is far more community rather than profit oriented. That's about how he had to adjust to this strange new world he finds himself in.
And so he's in this strange new world, and you can't tell us everything because I certainly want people to get the book 2100, which, by the way, you can get Robert's book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But what do you tell us some of the stories of what is so odd to him when he wakes up, I guess is how I'll put it.
Well, firstly, there's the shock of adjusting to being in a new society. Main change, I think, is when he goes to live in a community of about 200 people. If you can say a street block normally of about a dozen houses, instead of turned into a community of a couple of hundred people. They've got their own small houses and a park, and they pool their resources to grow a lot of their food and so on. And so for him, the big surprise is that people aren't just going off doing their own thing. They're all working together. And he discovers there's a reason for that, in that from time to time, climate change does strike. At one stage, there's a severe dust storm sweeps in. Everybody has to pitch in and help covering up gardens and so on, cutting down on a small windmill they've got and things like that. So there are reminders soon from time to time that climate change is still there and it's still having a severe effect. Another time there are heavy rains and a lot of places are flooded. Other things he does find, technology is an odd mixture. On the one hand, the tires and the cars are quite thin. It's difficult to get rubber. On the other hand, they've got devices like an emotional regulator. It's a small device like a hearing aid that's put behind your ear, and it can, to a degree, regulate your emotions to stop you from getting too depressed or agitated, which also helps him to adjust to society in this world. Another time he and his girlfriend that he meets get caught in a snowstorm, and he's driving out. I could take refuge in a ranger's hut and think of the number of home truths come out. So there are some dramatic incidents in it, but it's not meant to be a normal adventure novel. It's more about what life could be like living then.
Wow, so, so interesting. And again, 2100 is the name of the novel that Robert's written. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, firstly, it was to entertain, to enjoy reading it. Secondly, to consider that there might be other ways we can live our lives. We may need to live them in future. We adapt to the effects of climate change and economic problems and so on. But we need to become more community-oriented. Now again, you hear talk about these preppies, you know, people who are going and preparing for the apocalypse or whatever. They normally take themselves off to some unknown spot. They won't be the survivors. The survivors will be the ones that organise themselves into communities. All their resources. And I think at times and future what we might have to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you are predicting the future. I do. I don't want to give too much away, and I want to give you time to tell us just a little sneak about your next book. Tell us the name of the other book that you have out and a little bit about what that's about.
Oh, that's on Amazon also. That's also set in Canberra's future, and it's called Canberra S. That's also in a sort of post-apocalyptic world. You know, the apocalypse is when the bad thing happens, and the post-apocalypse is when the survivors pick up the pieces. The interesting thing is what happens after that. When things start to improve and people from various communities start to link with each other, it's based in a Canberra setting where they've divided themselves up into lots of small communities, but now, all two or three centuries in the future, they're starting to recombine and there are various power struggles. But the, that novel was told in a rather, it's a comedy, told in a rather tongue-in-cheek fashion. But it also shows the benefit of the far-sighted legacy of one man who will help Canberra to recover and reestablish its preeminence.
Yeah.
That one's also on Amazon.
Wow.
Or with both books. You can buy it, goes on my website on robertphillips.com.au and you can get links from there through to Amazon.
Excellent. Robert, thanks. So fascinating. I think you've hit on some themes that we're definitely talking about these days, and we appreciate you coming on the show on America Tonight.
Oh, I appreciate talking to you, Kate.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.